Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's edible honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of edible honesty, and the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, hot, rockin', where in this city is the fruit for my pie? Let's get down and talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host, and I am ready to rock. So let's cut right into it, because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. For today, I will be combining the lyrics of David Bowie, The Eagles, The Clash, Bugs Bunny, Joni Mitchell, Marvin Gaye, and the Sex Pistols to discuss the demise of the global food supply chain. And to that, I personally say, see you later, alligator. Let's just say that the global food supply chain can no longer be relied upon. It's done, it's over, and yes, we have no bananas today. And because of that, in the not too distant future, every city around the world will slowly but surely starve unless they all make some dramatic changes, because time may change me, but I can't change time. Now that the global food supply chain is out of commission, there really is only one choice. Well, that is unless every city around the world wants their inhabitants to starve. So here it is. It is better for a city to grow their own local food than it is to receive distant food that was grown somewhere a few thousand miles away in a land far, far away, period, exclamation, smurf. So pass the beer nuts, Hillary Norman Peterson, because tonight what heights will hit. On with the show. This is it. The first time in over 10,000 years of documented, civilized human history that the number of people who live in cities surpassed the number of people living in a rural area was in the year 2009. And for proper perspective, the New York Yankees had just won their 25th World Series and Godzilla was the MVP. So holy Hideki Matsui Batman. Oh no, there goes Tokyo, go, go Godzilla. Now, it has been 13 years since the New York Yankees won their last World Series, and we are due. But it's also only been 13 years since the number of people who live in cities surpassed the number of people who live in rural areas. And since that time, the world has become more and more urban as more and more people keep moving into the city. But the ice age is coming. The sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected. The wheat is growing thin. Currently, 4.4 billion with a B people are living in cities. And by the year 2050, well over 6 billion with a B people will be living in cities. Now, you ever see what a just open can of sardines looks like? Let's just say it's a claustrophobic nightmare. So welcome to my nightmare. I hope I did not scare you. Now, a can of sardines is a term, and it is never good. It has been applied to describe human crowding since the 1800s. It means I cannot breathe and there is no food in here. And right now, around the world, cities are growing faster than an Aroldis Chapman 105-mile-an-hour fastball down the plate. And everyone in the world, for some reason, is moving to a city. Or let me phrase this another way. Everyone is starting to move into a sardine tin. And there is never, ever enough food to go around a sardine tin. Ooh, ooh. To me, the Eagles said it best. I was born here in the city with my back against the wall. Nothing grows and life ain't pretty. And by the year 2050, 70% of the global population will be living in a city, which seems kind of cool. However, there is just one small problem. And by small, I mean Manute Bol. So, holy 7'6" Manute Bol Batman. The Manute Bol sized problem we face is the global food supply chain is already completely incapable of keeping pace with the 4.4 billion people living in cities right now. There is simply not enough food to go around the sardine tin. Food production around the world has dropped faster than Michael Spinks did on the evening of June 27th, 1988. And food insecurity, or a lack of food, has struck citizens in every city, in every continent without exception. And right now, we only have 4.4 billion city mouths to feed. But wait, just wait. Until there are 6 billion urban mouths to feed, because it'll be anarchy in every city. Ooh, ooh. The fundamental problem is so easy to identify. Cities do not grow their own food. Even worse, cities have adopted a Blanche DuBois approach to growing food. They literally rely upon the kindness of strangers for their food, which is not a great strategy at all. Not when you are waiting for peaches from China, because they aren't coming. Today, cities have way, way more people living in them than ever before. And the irony is that cities are waiting for a shipment of Chinese peaches that will never, ever come. The world suddenly has way, way less food. And the parts of the world with the largest populations, the cities, well, they get the least amount of food. And people are starving to death in the streets of every city in the United States. Literally, it is biblical. Speaking of which, starvation appears in the Bible 37 separate times. Let me give you an example. Genesis 47:13. Now there was no food in all the land, for the famine was distressingly severe, so that all of Egypt and all of Canaan starved. We are right now at the beginning of the 38th biblical starvation. Uh-oh, overflow, population, common food. It's the end of the world as we know it. Ooh, ooh. There is no possible way we will be able to provide food security for 6 billion mouths. We can't even feed 4.4 billion mouths. So let's address the elephant in the room, shall we, Babar? Cities in the United States do not produce food. And because they do not, cities in the United States do not contribute to the supply side of the global food supply chain. Instead, cities in America act as a passive recipient in an already enormous global food supply chain. And guess what? We are last. We are the last edible mile in an enormous global food supply chain. Wait, what's the last edible mile? The last edible mile is Charlie Brown attempting a field goal. It's never good. The last edible mile is the most expensive and the lowest quality. And the last edible mile does the most damage to the environment. And you know what? Marvin Gaye knew it. What about this overcrowded land? How much more abuse from man can she stand? Now, when it comes to food, the last edible mile means the lowest quality at the absolute highest price. And the food that just so happens to survive the long journey and actually somehow make its way to the last edible mile is always the oldest. And you know what that means, Scoob?
Really, Raggy?
It means the food that makes its way to the last edible mile is always the most problematic. Hi, I'm your host, Christopher Walken, and welcome to the last edible mile. And now it's time to play America's favorite game, Edible Russian Roulette. Timmy, you see that piece of sticker fruit? Go on, Timmy. Take a bite. As opposed to the last edible mile, the first edible mile is the place to be. It's high-energy rock and roll. It's Freddie Mercury at Live Aid. The first edible mile is the top layer. It's the best of the best all the time. The first edible mile always gets the freshest. Why is that? First stop. The food at the first edible mile happens to be the cheapest. And it also has the fewest problems by far. The food at the first edible mile is way, way, way better for the environment because it never travels far. Every city in the United States, heck, every city in the world must become a fully functioning first edible mile destination because the edge of the city to the person living inside that city is the very last edible mile. And you know what? They are starving. And I believe Joni Mitchell said it best. They pave paradise and put up a parking lot.
Ooh, ooh.
Do me a favor. Explain it to me. Why is it so difficult and expensive to get food for people who live in cities? Well, the global food supply chain happens to span 6 continents and 6 oceans. And the circumference of the equator of the planet is 24,901 miles, which is a hell of a swim. Am I right, Aquaman? You are right, Bruce. And just so you know, Bruce, the waters, the oceans, the seas, the lakes, they will no longer be an edible resource. And in the very near future, the ocean is running out of fish faster than a Sammy Hagar speeding ticket. The waters of the world will run out of fish by the year 2050. So, sorry, Charlie, take my license, all that jive. I can't drive. 55. So now, let's stop and take a quick recap, shall we? The ocean is running out of food. You heard Aquaman. oil wasted on the ocean and upon our seas, and the fish are full of mercury. And the air is running out of food. Things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying. And we're rapidly running out of land. And that land is rapidly running out of food. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows. But food is a necessity. However, in the near future, food will be a luxury. Before we fall into disrepair, and before we die of starvation, there is hope. A study out of Tufts University recently demonstrated every city in the United States can sustain, and every city in the United States can satisfy the food needs of their local population entirely through their own locally grown food, making every single city in America a localvore's fantasy. So holy localvore's fantasy, Batman. Now, every city in the United States can easily eliminate food insecurity. So what in the wide, wide world of sports, Taggart, are they waiting for? Is it a series of bribes? Because if you build it, they will come. Ooh, ooh. Every single city in the United States can instantly reverse their realities and flip the script. There is no point in being the last edible mile in an enormously long global food supply chain. Not when it's broken, not when every single city can become the first and only mile of its own local food supply chain. And all it takes is setting up a series of climate-controlled indoor vertical farms called First and Only Mile Farms. Ooh, ooh. Captain's Log, Edible Afterthoughts. Any American city, regardless of size, is capable of eliminating the prospect of food insecurity within their own walls and within the next 10 to 15 years. Therefore, if a city is to survive and thrive, dish and swish, want to be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala. Cities must fund and cities must establish a myriad of climate-controlled indoor vertical farms called First and Only Mile Farms. And immediately, until every single city in the United States is capable of feeding every single inhabitant, and it can be all accomplished within the next 10 to 15 years. And it is the patriotic duty of every single American city. They must ensure that they become the first and only mile on the supply chain. And every American city must ensure that they let no mouth go hungry. Let no mouth go hungry should be the mantra for every single city in the United States. Let no mouth go hungry should be the mantra for every single city around the world. Think of it this way. It's just an invitation across the nation, a chance for folks to meet. There'll be laughing and singing and music swinging, urban indoor farming in the street. So that's it. That's a wrap on the last edible mile. But stay tuned. Stay tuned for the next episode because it's going to be awesome, baby. Ooh, ooh. My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening. And to all my fans, out there in Wisconsin, go Badgers. And an enormous edible shout out to my favorite farmer on this planet, Goyo over at JR Organics. And guys, this is the skinny on Goyo and JR Organics. They are the first farm in the United States to cultivate edible electricity. You can get 1, 2, 3, even 4 boxes of edible electricity every single week. If you live in Los Angeles, Orange County, or San Diego, take the opportunity to go find Goyo. Get on the website, get to him, make sure you get your edible electricity, because trust me, you will be buzzing like a bee. And I've been getting all of your emails and comments, and thank you. And do not forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. And no, I'm not signed by any media outlet yet. History Channel, Food Network, Cooking Channel, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, Martha Stewart. I'm available. So get in touch with me and let's work out a deal. And let's get Edible Honesty what it deserves, a syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty. Same edible time, same edible station.